Remain standing, if you will, turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. I do appreciate that song. Amen. Good song to end the year with, too. Amen. Thinking about headed closer home. Amen. Amen. Well, I heard that commotion over there at the piano, and I thought maybe just the top had snapped shut or something. And I didn't know that there'd been a wreck. But the seat come apart, and that's all right. Leg come loose from it, but I'm glad nobody got hurt. Amen. And we'll get that. I know it's playing from a chair would have to be different than playing on a stool and seem different too. So we'll try to get that fixed, but thank God for taking care of us. Amen. Like I said, you don't ever know. You need to be in the house of God. If you miss the service, you never know what's going to happen. Amen. 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 And somebody said you couldn't expect not to have some dents and bangs when you let a woman drive the thing. Amen. But no, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. It's a good way to start the new year, ain't it? Amen. Make half the congregation mad. Amen. No. But anyway, I thank God for being able to be here. Amen. And the blessings that He's given us, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Christmas time, you get a lot of gifts. But I'm telling you, we didn't need them. I mean, thank God for what we got. I'm not complaining that by any means at all. But I'm telling you, God has so blessed us that we have no reason to complain about anything. Amen. And yet then we just, seems like He just blesses us again and again and again. And how grateful we should be. Amen. For that. Amen. I'm going to read one verse. All I'm going to read today. One verse. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. And the reason I'm going to do this, I'm not going to preach it expository as we have somewhat in these verses. I'm going to take this and give you a topical message to end out our Sunday morning time this year. Thinking really exhorting you about this verse. Matthew chapter 4 verse number 4. But He answered. You know, this is after the devil has sent the first attack, the first wave, you might say, of the personal temptations of Satan. And the devil had said, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written. Those are the words I want underlined. I want to impress in our mind. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, today for the good love of God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we've enjoyed.
Yes.
Being back in your house again this morning, Sunday school time. I pray you'll bless the pastors this morning. In the Spirit of God,
help us, Lord.
On this place with great power and great grace. And
yes.
And Lord, do that in our hearts what needs to be done. And I was again to without rejoicing thee. For our hearts, Lord, to be in a greater, deeper way than ever before.
Yes.
Everything that is said is going to be glorified and honored you. We thank you for Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you for sending. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, you know, we've been studying this temptation of Christ in the wilderness now for some time. Last few Sundays, we've been looking at the first attack, as I said, the first wave of attack. And I mentioned to you, I don't believe that this is all of the temptation, but it's rather embodying that which Satan did personally. I believe that for those 40 days that there was divers temptations that came our Lord's way, and probably divers different devils and maybe imps that came to bring that. But I believe that there at the end, at the close of that, that Satan himself personally mounted an attack against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and waged war against our Savior. And then when he brought this personal attack, as I said before, of course it would be ratcheting it up. It would be making it a little bit more difficult, if possible, against our Savior. I talked to you last week about the fact that that we realize from this that we can see the example that the devil is very opportunistic. In other words, he's looking for an opportunity, any opportunity he can use. If he cannot use it in one avenue, he'll use it in the other. Amen.
He'll either say you're not strict enough or you're too strict. One thing or the other, he'll try his best to try to bring an opportunity to bring forth evil in his devices, in his deception. Well, in this we talked about Satan's big if. He said, if thou be the Son of God. I'm reminded again that it is interesting to me that when the Lord answered him, he didn't. It's as if Satan said, prove yourself to be God. Jesus didn't start off with a verse that talked about God. He started off with a verse that talked about man. Because he came as man. He had humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a man. Amen. And he answered as a man would answer, as a man could answer. I've said it again and again that these are weapons that you and I can use. That's the point that I want to bring out this morning, if I can, in Christ's answer to the first attack of the temptation. This is the second part, as we've dealt with the first part last week. But the devil came with that big if and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I mentioned to you, pointed out that the devil's grand strategy was to try to get Christ to doubt God's word and to disbelieve God's love. Amen. And if he can get us to do that, then he has us defeated. Christ was hungry, but God was aware that his son was hungry. Amen. God was not careless. God was not unconcerned when his son was hungry. I say again to you and I, when trouble comes our way, it's not that God does not see, or God does not know, or God does not care. God does see, he does know, and he does care. Amen. Sometimes he allows us to be in trouble. Sometimes he allows us to be in turmoil. Sometimes he allows us to be in the midst of temptation, that he might bring forth his will and get his glory. Amen. And so the devil was appeared to Christ not as an enemy, but he appeared almost as a friend and tried to get him to disbelieve the Father and believe him. That was the point I dealt with last week. And that's what he did with Eve. You can't believe God. Can you really believe that God said that you can eat of every tree but this one? Why would he say you couldn't eat of this one? Can you really believe that? He got her to disbelieve God, but at the same time to get her to believe him. Thou shalt not surely die, he said. You better believe God. When God said you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. You eat of it, you're going to die. Amen. Don't believe the devil. The devil's a liar from the beginning. Amen. And our Lord said that, and we saw it from the beginning. Amen. But he also came to the Lord, not only saying that you can't believe God, but believe me. You can't trust God, but you can trust me. But he came almost as saying, I care and I'm concerned. I know you're hungry and I know you need bread. So if you're the Son of God, just command these stones to be made bread. Almost as if he's saying, your Father is uncaring and your Father is unconcerned. And again, that's what he tempts us with over and over and over again. When a person gets in the grip of depression and gets in the grip of those debilitating thoughts, by the way, depression, it is an emotional thing, and there's a psychological thing because you start thinking these bad thoughts. You start thinking nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody understands. There's nowhere to turn. You get in that, you get boxed in and closed in and shoving everybody else out. That's the work of the devil. When he said, don't trust them, don't believe that they know or that they care. Amen. So we considered last week and some before that, but especially last week, about how the deceptive bait that the devil uses has multiple barbs, has numerous barbs that might reach and grab. They're sharp barbs, by the way. Amen. And they might reach and grab, but they're hidden from view. Amen. They're hidden in a way that you might not suspect or expect them to be there. Well, last week's message, I dealt with the same topic that's before us today about Christ's answer to the first attack of the temptation. We began looking at verse number 4, which is before us today, and we noted how that our Lord answered. Christ stood firmly on the Word of God, and he remained firmly in the will of God. Amen. He was not going to deviate from the will. He came to do the will of the Father. Amen. He came to do the will of God, and so he stood firmly on the Word of God. If you're seeking the will of God, get in the Word of God. Amen. Walk in the Word of God that you have now, and you'll be able to see more of the will of God in the future when you walk in the Word that you have now. That is true. Amen. And so that's exactly what our Lord did. We mentioned to you that our Lord quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. We turned and read that and dealt some with that. But He declared that man's only hope is the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, you can eat a lot of bread and still starve to death if you don't have the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You can still starve to death spiritually if you don't have the Word of God. You can still cease to exist if you don't have the Word of God. And He didn't say you need some of the Word. He said you need every word of God's Bible. Amen. And I believe that. So, well, having said that today, I want to deal with two thoughts, if I can, and thinking about this weapon that our Lord used. First of all, I want to talk about Christ's victorious weapon of choice. Amen. The weapon that our Lord chose to use in every attack, all three attacks, Christ said, "It is written." Amen. He chose to use the same sword to parry off the first blow, and then to parry off the second blow, and then to parry off the third blow. He used the Word of God as His weapon of choice. As time advanced and the temptations mounted higher and higher, maybe came from different angles, He didn't change the weapon of choice. He used the same weapon. Amen. I'm telling you, when 2019 gets here, this King James Bible will still work like it did in 1611. Amen. It'll still work and get the job done for the glory of God. I know we're facing temptations today they never faced in those days. Amen. They didn't have the internet. Al Gore hadn't invented it yet in 1611. Amen. They didn't have some of the things that we have today to face, that the world faces today. They didn't have it then. But I'm telling you, we can still use the same sword of the Word of God to defeat the devil today that He used in that day. Amen. We don't have to change weapons. Amen. We don't need a new and improved weapon. Matter of fact, how can you improve on that which is imperfect? Which is impeccable. That's the word I was thinking of. How can you improve on that which is perfect and impeccable? Amen. You can't improve, amen, on it. Matter of fact, it'd be just like they did with Coke. You remember when they came out with a new Coke? Didn't improve on it. Amen. Didn't improve on it. People didn't appreciate it. Amen. Now, that's the way we ought to be with the new King James, by the way. With the new International Version. With the new American Standard Version. Amen. All this new stuff, I'm telling you, we ought not accept it. We ought to spit it out. Don't taste the same as the old original. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the King James Bible. Well, our Lord used the weapon of choice. He used God's Word. That's the thing. God's Word that He stood on. And so, the weapons that we have, the weapons that can give us victory is the same weapon that our Lord had. And I'll say weapons plural because I do believe that it is the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith that go together. Because just knowing what the Bible says is not enough. You've got to believe what the Bible says. Amen. Christ could have just said, well, this is what the Bible says, and quote those verses. I mean, it's like what a lot of people do. They think it's about as good as saying hocus pocus. Abracadabra. Amen. Just ritualistic words that they think might do some kind of magic. Just reading the Bible ain't going to get it done. Just quoting the Bible ain't going to get it done. Amen. I know that's not good English, but it's right. Amen. It's going to take believing the Bible. And our Lord did believe the Bible. He held forth the Word of God and He said, "It is written." That is the sword of the Spirit. He trusted in His Father. What His Father had said, amen, that He didn't have to doubt what His Father had said when Satan came. And when He held forth these weapons, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, the devil was overcome, amen. The devil's purpose was frustrated for that time. Thank God it was, amen. And the Bible has been the arsenal of all God's heroes, amen. All of God's heroes have stood on the Bible. I believe the spiritual armory of all God's soldiers is this spiritual armory of the Bible. Amen. Belief in the Bible and holding forth the Bible. All of Christ's good soldiers use the Bible. Everyone who ever triumphed over a spiritual conflict can relate that triumph back to the Word of God. Amen. God's promises are what we stand on. God's promises are what prevail. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But it's not faith in just anything. It's faith in what God has said. Amen. Amen. It's not good enough to say, well, that's what my preacher says. It's not good enough to say that's what our church believes. Amen. We got to recognize it goes above that. It's what God has said. Since that's what God has said, I can anchor on that. Amen. And I can stand on that. Well, this armory of the Word of God. One fellow said this way. I think he's right. We can take the sling stones of the Word of God and we can knock down every Goliath the devil puts forth. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this, and I didn't read it, but I thought about it along that line about taking the Word of God as a stone and slinging it towards the devil. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, prove it. And Jesus said, I'm going to prove a man, and I'm going to prove this how man can overcome. Man can overcome by believing God. Man can overcome by living on the Word of God. But he didn't just refuse to do what the devil said, proving he is God. God said, make these stones bread. Jesus took the bread of God's Word, made a stone out of it, and hurled it at the devil. Amen. Amen. And those sling stones can still knock Goliaths down to the ground. Amen. It is the sword of the Spirit which God uses to accomplish His task. Amen. You remember when David went before Goliath, David didn't have a sword, but Goliath had a massive sword. When David took that sling stone, and by the way, he said, the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. He wasn't coming in His power. He wasn't standing on His Word. He was standing on God's Word. He was going to prove that there was a God in heaven. Amen. And that God was the God of Israel. Amen. And when he knocked Goliath down, apparently that stone, I don't know if that stone killed Goliath immediately or not, but the Bible says that he stood upon Goliath, took Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off. Amen. I'm telling you, you can do some mighty, mighty works of great conquest, if you'll just use the Word of God. It's a sword like no other. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, that's exactly what David said about Goliath's sword. You remember that? I looked it up to get the place there. In 1 Samuel chapter number 21, you don't have to turn, I'll just read it to you. But 1 Samuel chapter 21, David's fleeing from Saul. David stops by the priest, Ahimelech's there. He asks the priest, Ahimelech, is there a sword here? He said, is there a sword under your hand? I've left without, the king's business was exceeding urgent. I've left without my sword. And Ahimelech said in verse number 9, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath of Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. Listen to this. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it me. Amen. David took Goliath's sword, said there's not another sword like it. I'm telling you, there ain't another Bible like the King James Bible. Amen. There ain't another book in all the world of books that can do what God's Word can do. Amen. And we need to take it when we go fighting the devil. Amen. I'll say this about that. Don't let Satan or some of his workers convince you that something else will work besides the Scriptures. It'll do you no good to wave a crucifix around. Amen. It'll do you no good to sprinkle holy, quote unquote, water around your room. Amen. Amen. When you're facing the enemy, I don't think you'll find much power in rubbing some beads of a rosary. Amen. I could go on down bowing before a statue of some quote-unquote dead saint. Not going to bring you what this Word of God will bring you. Amen. It's not going to give you the victory. Amen. Now, I know that in Baptist circles, we don't pray rosaries. We don't bow down to saints. But I tell you what a lot of people do. They think grandma was a saint, so they'll just stand on grandma's word. I'm going to tell you, that ain't enough. You got to stand on God's word. Amen. Only the word of God and faith in Him will stand against Satan's devices. It's Christ's weapon of choice. Amen. It's the only weapon which the devil is afraid of. Amen. You heard the saying, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. The only reason why prayer, we say, well, prayer is powerful, and it is. But the only way it can be powerful is if we believe God and we believe what God said. So it's still the Bible and faith. Prayer is just activating that. Amen. Prayer is just standing on those promises. Prayer is just claiming those promises. Prayer is just obeying those commands. Amen. And so these weapons are the only weapons that the devil is afraid of. And because of that, the devil has turned all of his attention, unremitting force he's turned against the Bible to try to tear down the Bible, to try to tear pages out of the Bible, to try to take the Bible away from us, to try to keep us from our Bible. Amen. The devil's doing his best to try to either despoil the Bible, mess it up, muddy it up, or to try to conceal the Bible. You know, there was a time when the Catholics was killing people for knowing something about their Bible. Amen. Most of you have heard of that phrase, the Paternoster. I'm sure you probably heard of that. When we was in Israel, there's a place they call Paternoster Lane. And he's talking about, a lot said about the Paternoster. Paternoster is the Latin phrase, our Father. It's that, that prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If they'd go to little children, and if children knew the Paternoster prayer, they'd kill their family. Because they knew too much of their Bible. Now, who's afraid of the Bible? The devil's who's afraid of the Bible. Amen. And they didn't want the Bible, by the way, they didn't want the Bible in their tongue, in their language. If they could say it in Latin, that was fine. But if they could say it in English, or they could say it in what they call the vulgar languages of the people, that's why they were killing them. They were chasing them and doing their best to keep the Bible out of their hands. I'm telling you that for this reason. I don't believe those days are all in the past. I believe the time could very well come when the Sodomites and the Roman Catholics, by the way, some of the same type people, and they team up together and they come out and say, you can't say that. You can't believe that. You can't read that in our presence. They've already taken it down from the courthouse walls. Amen. They've already banned it from the schoolhouse. Amen. And in California, they tried to pass a law saying that if you was found with a Bible, it's hate speech. Amen. They didn't get it through. Thank God they didn't. But you don't think they're going to stop, do you? They're going to keep on trying to push that. Well, the devil's doing his best to try to conceal the Word of God, to try to hide the Word of God, to try to pull away the Word of God out from the minds and the eyes and the thoughts of the people. Amen. Ever since this very first temptation, the very first temptation in the garden, he's tried to do his best to damage the sword of the Word of God. Tried to blunt it if he could. Try to bring its truth into question. By the way, that's where we're at today. They question the Bible. You think about the Scriptures. You start, start at the beginning. We're nearly in a new year. Maybe you're going to read your Bible through again this year. I hope you do. If you start in the book of Genesis, did you know that's where they start saying, you can't believe that? You can't believe that the world was created like that. You got to believe that it took millions and billions of years. And they go on and on about all these different things. And they say, you can't believe Genesis, and you can't believe Exodus, and you can't believe Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. You can't believe Joshua and Judges and Ruth. And they'll just go on and on. And they'll tell, there never was a real King David. They'll go through all this stuff. And what they're doing is they're questioning your Bible. Amen. Can I tell you, if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, then I don't know how you can believe John 3:16. Amen. Because Jesus believed Genesis 1:1. Amen. And if he believed it, and then he said John 3:16, by the way, those are red letter words, they're the words of our Lord. If he said those words and he was deceived, then he wasn't the Son of God that he claimed to be. So you've got to believe all the Bible, I'm saying. You've got to believe what he believed, and he believed all the Bible. But the devil's doing his best to bring it into question. And so the devil has brought out a multitude of devices and a multitude of ways and different levels in which he can ask the questions. Amen. If you go to Bible college, you've got to be careful what Bible college you go to, because some of them, in claiming to be teaching the Bible, they're destroying your faith in your Bible. They're calling into question your Bible. Amen. When we were in Israel, one thing I appreciate our tour guide, he was a Palestinian Muslim, but he didn't call into question those beliefs. Everything was a story to him. He talked about it. This is the story where Jesus did this, that, and the other. You know, it's all a story. And then he told stories that are Catholic tradition, just as if they were just as true as the Bible stories, because he believes that. Amen. But I'm glad that he didn't call into question. I remember Brother Mays Jackson said that when he was in the Holy Lands one time, they said that on this mountain, said this is where Jesus supposedly fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Brother Mays said, "What'd you say?" That guy said, "This is where Jesus supposedly fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Brother Mays said, "Say that one more time and slow down." And the guy said, "This is where Jesus supposedly..." Brother Mays said, "Hold it right there." He said, "That word don't belong in that sentence. Jesus never supposedly did anything. If the Bible says he did it, he did it." Amen. That is true. Amen. Amen. But the devil will do his best to try to bring out some kind of way to make us disbelieve the Bible. He circulated all kinds of complaints and accusations against the Word of God. Now you don't have to go to Bible college to get that kind of false doctrine. By the way, you're getting it in school if you're in public school. You may even be getting it in the homeschool stuff, sneaking it in. Amen. But if you're on the internet, there's all kinds of false teachings on the internet about your Bible. Amen. And they're doing their best to try to mess with our mind and mess with our belief in the Bible. So the devil tries his best to throw suspicion on the Word of God. He tries to render the Bible ambiguous, say you can't understand those words, and on and on and on. And what he's trying to do? He's trying to rob men of the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Amen. So the devil brings his false assertions about the Word of God. There's not a single book in your Bible that the quote-unquote scholars have not called into question. Amen. There's not one miracle that Jesus ever performed that the quote-unquote scholars have not called into question. They've scoffed at it. They've mocked it. They call it a fable. They call it a fake. Amen. There's not one solitary promise of God which the devil does not say you cannot bank on. Amen. That's how he's working. He's doing his best to try to delete your confidence in the Word of God. Amen. He's doing his best to try to disparage God's Word and make it where you doubt what God has said. Amen. He's still working that way. Sometimes with instruments, sometimes with servants, sometimes false prophets, college professors. Sometimes he does it personally, in person, I believe. Amen. But he's doing his best to bring doubt to the Word of God. I'll tell you another way that he brings doubt to the Word of God. When you hear of somebody falling into sin, especially when it's been somebody that has proclaimed the Word of God. Amen. Maybe you knew there's a false prophet all along. There's some people that fail that I don't know how anybody ever believed is real. Amen. But then there are some people fail that I believe was real, and still to this day believe might have been real, but the devil got to them. Amen. Amen. But you know what the devil do? He'll say, "See, you can't believe it then. That preacher failed, or that teacher failed, or that whatever, somebody you had confidence in, they fell into sin." And the devil says, "Therefore, you can't believe the Bible." He'll call into question the Word of God. You know why? Because he's scared of the Word of God. Because he's afraid that you might believe the Word of God. Because if you really believe it and you stand on it, you can defeat the devil and come out victorious as the Lord did. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Those are the words of our Lord that He said about the devil. In other words, He said, don't believe him. He didn't abide in the truth. He wouldn't stand in the truth. He wouldn't stay in the truth. Amen. There's no truth in him. That's what He said. Don't believe him. That's the weapon of choice Christ used against the devil, was the Word of God and faith. Now, how can we use that? The second point. Some ideas that we can use the Scriptures as a weapon for ourselves against the devil. Verse number 4 again, Luke Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You might say, how can I use the sword of God, the Word of God, to help me in a time of temptation? Well, when the devil wants to lead you astray, you know what's the first thing he'll do? He'll try to cloud your thinking. Amen. He'll try to cloud your thinking. Now, there's a whole lot of things. Jesus talked about not being given up to drunkenness and surfeiting. Amen. And we don't use that word, but surfeiting deals with abundance, using things too much. And it comes with gluttony. That's part of the idea. It comes with too much concern, too much care, being overwrought in these things. And the devil, by the way, that's one reason why they're promoting so much alcohol. It clouds the thinking of men. Why they're promoting this marijuana clouds the thinking of man. Amen. Why the devil's pushing drugs, it clouds the thinking. Amen. Pornography clouds the thinking. It messes, it perverts the thinking. Amen. You go on and on. So many things that the devil is using to get you thinking in a different direction, to get you away from this Bible. He'll say you're too narrow-minded. It needs to be this narrow. Amen. As narrow as your Bible is how narrow your thinking needs to be. Amen. But he tries to get you clouded about the way that you think. He does his best to try to get you, he leads you in a way that you might misbelieve or disbelieve. That's the right word. Disbelieve the Word of God. Can I really? You start questioning that. Amen. Trust in the Bible will gain us the strength that we need to withstand the devil's deception. Amen. For example, the Bible clearly makes statements. The Bible's not unclear about things. It's so clear about things. But the devil wants to muddy your thinking. Amen. I've got three things that I want to give you an example, how that I can illustrate what I mean here, how we can use it, how the devil does. The devil, I'm going to talk about the preacher first. A lot of times the devil deals with the preacher this way. And I know we've got several men of God in here. Thank God for you. Amen. Here's what the devil will do. If he can, he'll corrupt the labor that you did. You know, Paul talked about, lest I've labored in vain. Amen. The devil will do his best to mess with the preacher's mind. And there's a lot of ways that he does that. For example, and you've heard this before, but it's true. When you miss and you don't let us know why you miss, you'd be surprised what the devil tells us. Amen. Amen. When maybe, you know, things happen. Sometimes the devil do his best to try to get us thinking in the wrong way. But the devil comes and says, you need to lay off this a little bit. You need to ease up a little bit. You need to be more friendly. You need to be everybody's pal. Listen, everybody don't need a pal, but everybody needs a preacher. Amen. You think you need a friend, and you do need some friends, but the preacher don't have to be your friend. Amen. Nathan was David's friend, but the way he was a real friend was by being a real preacher and pointing his finger at David when he needed it, pointed at him and saying, thou art the man, David. You're the man. Amen. That's what we need. But the devil will say you need to ease up a little bit. He has subtlety, and he suggests that the preacher might preach a little more smoothly. Amen. That he'll probably get a better crowd if he wasn't so narrow. He doesn't need to make the way so narrow or the gate so straight, but he needs to open it up a little bit. He needs to gain the friendship of the world and thus add to his congregation. That's what the devil says. Then the devil says this, once you've got them in the congregation, then you can win them. It's like the girl that says, you know, I know he's a drunk and I know he's not saved, but I think I'll go ahead and marry him. I know the Bible says be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, but I think I'll go ahead and marry him because I believe I can win him. One man said it this way, and I think he's right. He said, if you're weak enough to marry him, you're not strong enough to win him. That is right. Amen. But the devil say that to the preacher. You just get the world in. I mean, how do you get them in? Well, you bring rock music in and you play rock music for them and get them in that way. And you have them dressing provocatively and that's how you get them in. You have movie night and you do all these things that the world's doing and that's how you get them in. But if you're just feeding them the same thing they're getting down at the bar and you're feeding them the same thing they're getting down at the theater, what good are you doing them? He says, then you can win them. No, that's not how you win them. Amen. Amen. That's not how you win them. Well, when the devil makes that offer, a lot of times he knows how to back up his advice and his counsels. He says, look at the church down the road. Look at all the cars parked out in front of them. How they're lined up. Amen. Amen. And so the preacher might consider what the devil has said. Amen. But here's what we can do if we'll just take what the Bible said, take it plainly. Our Lord gives us some good advice. In Matthew chapter number 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. When the devil says, don't make it so straight and narrow, Jesus said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. Amen. Let me find it. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Since Jesus said it straight and narrow, then the preacher better say it straight and narrow. Because if he says it's not straight and narrow, he's not preaching the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Here's what the Bible said. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's Galatians 1:8. Paul said if a preacher preaches something different, let him be accursed. That's pretty hard. That's pretty straight. But it's right. It's the Bible. And the safest thing we can do is stand on that Bible. Amen. What can the devil do with a preacher that'll just keep believing his Bible? What can the devil do with a preacher just keeps preaching that word? I'll tell you what he'll have to do. He'll have to retreat because the Word of God has always worked. Amen. Now, we might not see him come in droves and in bunches, but if we'll stay faithful to the Word of God, God will be faithful to His Word. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Here's another thing that I'll say. The devil comes to the believer. And the devil will say this to the believer. I'm talking about, and if I say common believer, it's not because common being lesser than the preacher. Amen. The preacher's just a believer too. He's just been called of God and put in a position. Amen. But to the believer, every believer, everyday believer, however you want to use it, the devil will come and say, how can you really believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Look at all these churches. Can you really believe that they're not preaching the way to heaven too? That's what he'll say. Look at all these masses of people all around the world, places where they've never heard the name Jesus. Don't you believe that God in love, if He's really a God of love, would let them in somehow? Would you believe they have to believe in Jesus? I do believe that they have to believe in Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's how you answer the devil. You answer him with what the Bible says. You answer him with the Word of God. Here's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and it's a good Bible verse, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. That means not Buddha, not Mohammed, not the Pope, not Mary. Amen. Nobody. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A lot of times we quote that and we say, ye must be saved. Peter didn't say, that's how you got to get saved. He said, that's the only way I got in. That's the only way any of us got in. Amen. Was by believing in Jesus. Amen. So how can you stand against the devil when the devil says, can you really believe Jesus is the only way? You can say, yes, I believe Jesus is the only way. Amen. Now, I know Billy Graham didn't believe that. Amen. I know George W. Bush didn't believe that. I know a whole lot of people that's been in leadership that we think, well, they's a good, quote-unquote, good Christian. They didn't believe that. Amen. Mother Teresa didn't believe that. The Pope doesn't believe that. They all believe, hey, we're all going to heaven. We're all worshiping the same God, just different ways. All roads lead to heaven. That's a lie. Amen. Jesus said there's only one way. Jesus is not a liar. Amen. It's possible for all those men I named to be liars, but not for Jesus to be a liar. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, that's why the Bible said, let every man be a liar, but God's true. Amen. Amen. Well, the devil will speak to your reason. He'll do his best to get you to thinking about these things. He'll attempt to get you to battle him with reason alone. I'm glad God made us reasonable creatures, but he didn't tell us that our weapon was reason. You can't reason with the devil. Don't sit down and talk it over with the devil. Pull your sword on the devil. That's the only thing good for it. Amen. Here's a good illustration. You're walking in your yard and you hear a rattle that you know is not a baby rattler. Might be a baby rattler. They're just as poisonous or maybe more so than the big ones. You don't sit down and say, now let's talk this over. Let's reason this thing out. No, I tell you what you better do. You better look for a hoe. Amen. Or a shotgun. Amen. Well, that's when the devil comes, and he's like that serpent. When the devil comes, don't try to reason with him. Amen. Don't try to just win the battle with your reason alone, because Jesus said you got to believe the Word of God, and it's the sword of God that'll cut the head off that devil. Amen. That's the only thing that will work. Amen. You can't fight Satan with your wits. You got to fight Satan with God's words. Man shall not live by bread alone. We could say by wits alone. But by the Word of God. He needs every Word of God. Amen. And so we need the Bible. Amen. We can say what Jesus said in John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Jesus told us He was the way. He told us again that the way is straight and narrow. Amen. And so we need to be narrow-minded about this thing of salvation. By the way, these are not my words. This is not the doctrine of the Baptist. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. Amen. Amen. Thirdly and lastly, I know I'm running out of time. This third example. I talked about the preacher and I talked about the believer. And the believer saying you can't believe God's Word. You can't believe that about salvation. Here's one. The devil's going to do his best to draw you into the world. It goes along with the song they were singing. Nothing between. Keep all that stuff out. Amen. You'd be surprised how many people I've run into in the past few months that want to argue. And maybe they're not willing to argue. They just believe. They've just accepted the fact that it's okay to drink alcoholic beverage every now and then. You'd be surprised how many Christians sit in bars. Amen. We came up by by Briley Parkway yesterday. Came by the Opryland there. They had to sign up there about some singers that's going to be there. I'm not going to call their name right here, right now. But it's, if I called their name, you'd know them well. And matter of fact, well, I'll be careful. You listen to their music. It's going to be playing down there. I'm not talking about country music singers. I'm talking about gospel music singers. It's going to be at Opryland. And I said to my wife, I called the name. I said, they're going to be here January 25th and 26th. If you want to look it up. I said, they're going to be at Opryland. Melissa said, that'd be like going to the bar to listen to Christian music. I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You'd be surprised how many Christians, and they just accept it. Well, I mean, everybody drinks just as long as you do it in moderation. Right? Just as long as you do it in moderation. Why did the Bible say don't even look on it when it's red and moving in its cup? Amen. When it's stirring in its cup. Why did the Bible say, woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink? He didn't just say it's wrong for you to drink it. He said it's wrong for you to peddle the mess. Amen. What if somebody comes up and says, would you hand me a beer? I'd say, no, I ain't handling the mess. God put a curse on it. Amen. If they want a drink, I'll give them a drink of water. Give them a drink of something that's not alcoholic. Amen. But it just go on and on. But the devil will try to pull you into the world. He'll try to get you to listen to that foot stomping, hip moving music. Amen. He'll try to get you to whatever, all kinds of different things. He'll tell you, listen, you're being too strict. You're being too straight. He said, you need a little brotherly love. That's what he'll say. You need to go where they're going. You need to do what they're doing in order to win them. He'll tell you you need to befriend the world. Start walking in some worldly circles and let your light shine among them. I'm telling you, that is a dangerous thing to listen to the devil. Amen. Perhaps the old liar tells you that the world needs Christians that are not so square. That's a word they use. So not so old-fashioned. Amen. He'll say, you don't want them to think you're some kind of a monk or a hermit, do you? Amen. Show them that Christians can kick up their heels and be the life of the party too. That's what he'll say. Amen. I read in something the other day, this fellow's talking about somebody that had written to him and told him that they'd went to a Christmas party. This wasn't this year, this was some years ago. They just started going to a new church. Just had started going to this new church. And they'd been invited to a Christmas party at somebody's home. When they got there, they were shocked to see cooler after cooler with ice and beer in the coolers. Wine glasses sitting around everywhere. And when they walked in and was greeted by the couple, they took their coats. They said standing there was the preacher and the song leader with their beverage of choice, Brother Steve. That's what they said, their beverage of choice in their hand. Brother Steve found a fella on the internet. Is it here in Kentucky? Pastors of church, talks about enjoying his beverage of choice. Yeah. They saw that. And here's what people say. You know, you can have just as much fun as the world can. Yeah, you can, and be sober. Amen. But I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't indulge in the world's slop without getting a part of that slop, without being a part of that. Amen. It's going to mar you. It's going to mess with you. It's going to ruin your testimony. Amen. That's exactly what it's going to do. If you don't do anything else, it'll ruin your testimony. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, the devil will try his best to get you to tone it down a little bit. He'll bring up things like this. You know, you catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Don't be so stiff. Don't be so square. Don't be so strict. That's what he'll say. Amen. Well, can I tell you, here's another thing he'll say about that. He'll say, here's what you need to do. You need to test your spirituality. The way you test it is by sliding up to the bar and saying, I'm not going to have a second one. You know when to say when. Can I tell you when to say when? Don't open the door of that establishment. Amen. Stay out of those places. That's when to say when. Amen. Amen. Say no. But the devil say you need to test your holiness. You need to test your resolve. He'll say you never know how much you can stand until you face temptations. He'll say to you young people, you need to experience what everybody else is talking about. And I tell you, you're better off not having some experiences. Amen. There's some memories you don't need. Amen. That's exactly right. Here's what the devil won't tell you to jump in head over heels. He'll say, just dip your foot in and test the waters. I read this. Charles Spurgeon said this one time. He said, very few men are willing to dive off the cliff into hell, but most of them will go down one step at a time. That's right. And the devil says, just try this. And you go on, there's so many things. Try this, try this, try this. And I'm talking to Christians now. The devil will tell you, you don't need to be like those old fuddy-duddies. You need to change with the times. These are the new days. This is a new way of living. That's what the devil says. It's an old lie, goes all the way back to the beginning. And God said, thou shalt not. Can I tell you, you still should not. Amen. Well, don't attempt to persuade the devil by the way of reason. The devil is slicker than a Philadelphia lawyer. The devil's slicker than a politician, and that's mighty slick. Amen. The devil knows how to twist your words and how to work his way in on that. The Lord did not argue with the devil. He just said, this is what the Bible says. It is written on the first temptation. That's what he said on the second one. It is written. I just go again and again. He never argued. He never wrangled with the devil. He just pulled out the sword and said, you see this devil? This is what I'm standing on. Amen. That's what we better do. You know these verses. I'm going to read you some of them real quickly. First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This is still in the Bible. You can answer the devil with these words. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. If you'll turn there and look at these, and I'll be closing her down. Ephesians chapter 4. Just telling you how we can practically use our sword of the Word of God against the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. It's written to a church, written to believers. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like the rest of the world. That's what he's talking about. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put off that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Those are the words to answer the devil with. Devil, I'm not going to put on the world. Devil, I'm not going to put on the old man. Maybe I did one time. Maybe I would have one day, but I'm not going to do that anymore, because I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to stand on it. And by using the Word of God as a weapon, we can overcome the wicked one. By using the Word of God as a weapon, we can subdue when the tempter comes. We can subdue him. And we can take our thoughts into captivity. That's what he talked about. Don't let the devil pull your mind away from the truth. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the example that we have of our Lord. This is how our Lord did. Our Lord grasped his sword with both hands. I want to tell you, you better do that. You better get a hold of your Bible with both hands. What I'm saying by that is, you better really believe your Bible. Amen. Get in it. I encourage you. I do it again and again, but I say it because it's so true. You need your Bible every day. I don't care if you've read it through one time or 100 times. You need to read it again. You need the Bible in you. Amen. You've heard the story. It's been told a number of times. I think it's so true. Said that a young preacher came to this old man. He said, I've been trying to memorize scripture and I can't do it. He said, it's not doing me any good. He said, it just seems like I take it in, it runs out as quick as I take it in. And the old man said to him, he said, son, let me get you to do me a favor. He said, take this strainer down, had a whisk, take this, is that what you call that? Colander, that's the word, thank you. Take this colander. Until I ain't a cook. I eat. That's my part of it. Take this colander and scoop me up a scoop full of water. And so the boy ran over to the creek and scooped up a colander of water. And he started back. And before he took 2 steps, it was empty. He told him, do it again. And so he scooped it up and he ran that time. But before he'd gone very far, it was empty again. And he did it again and again. Finally, the old man said to the young man, can you see? Are you doing any good? The boy said, no, it ain't doing a bit of good. And the old man said, look at the colander. You see any difference in the colander? And the boy said, well, it's cleaner. And the old man said, that's what the Word of God will do. Maybe you feel like you're not retaining any of it. But you just let it keep running through you. Running through you. Running through you. And you'll get cleaner and cleaner. I'm going to plug this because I feel like I have to. You sit in front of that television, you ain't getting cleaner. You listen to the world's music, you're not getting cleaner. Amen. You read the wrong kind of books, you look at the wrong things on the internet, whatever, you're not getting cleaner. But if you'll keep that Bible in your heart, it can cleanse you. And it can give you the sword, and it can give you the faith to believe, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, to stand when the devil attacks. You can answer, it is written. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, I wonder if the Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come. So simple a message, but a reminder and exhorting us. By the way, I love studying about our Lord, but we got to put it in our life. It worked for Him, and it'll work for us. We'll stand on the Word of God. Wield the sword of the Spirit. You can overcome those things. Those temptations the devil puts in your mind. You can overcome them by the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth. Help us, dear God, not to try to stand on our own wits, but stand on Your Word. Lord, help us not try to stand in our own strength, because the arm of flesh will fail us. But help us to trust in Jesus. Lord, bless this invitation time. Help these that have come to pray. Others that need to, Lord, would You touch them and help them. Draw them to You. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray as we're going to sing as we sing. If you need to come, would you obey the Lord?
156.
If you need to come, you obey the Lord. Do what He says do.